Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Police officers searching a 3-bedroom home on Westbourne Road in Chester open a chest of drawers and find a 2016 diary. Inside, tucked between the pages, is a green post-it note written in capital letters and handwriting of the woman who lives there. It says, "I am evil. I did this." Below that, in smaller script, "I killed them on purpose because I am not a good enough to care for them. I am a horrible, evil person." The prosecution would call that a confession. The defense would call it the anguished scrawl of a woman in psychological collapse. A jury would see that post-it note displayed on courtroom screens on the first day of a trial that lasted 10 months. And whatever else you believe about the case of Lucy Leppe, whatever conclusions you draw from the medical evidence or the statistical debate or the expert panels that came later, those words exist. They were written in her handwriting, and the question of what they actually mean sits at the precise center of one of the most controversial criminal convictions in modern British history. This is part three of our five-part series on the Lucy Letby case. The first two episodes walk through what allegedly happened inside the Countess of Chester's neonatal unit and how hospital executives systematically ignored the doctors who tried to raise the alarm. This episode is about what comes after all of that. The police investigation, the 10-month trial at Manchester Crown Court, the evidence a jury was asked to weigh. This is the story of how the case against Lucy Letby was built, presented, and decided before the doubt, before the expert challenges, before the documentaries and the public inquiry and the application to the Criminal Case Review Commission. Before any of that, there was a trial, a jury of 12 people, and a prosecution that set out to prove that a neonatal nurse had murdered 7 babies and attempted to murder 7 more. This is what they were asked to consider. And as we go through all of this, I'd love to get your thoughts in the comments on Substack and YouTube. The links to all of that in the description. Please join us, press subscribe, and be part of our conversation. The Cheshire Constabulary launched its investigation in May of 2017 after hospital executives at the Countess of Chester finally made the call they should have made nearly 2 years earlier. The case was immediately and profoundly complex in ways that distinguished it from conventional murder investigations. There was no forensic evidence in the traditional sense. No DNA recovered from a weapon, no fingertips on a syringe, no toxicology report showing a lethal substance that cannot be explained by medical treatment, no eyewitness to any act of deliberate harm. This was a circumstantial case from the beginning, one that would need to be assembled from medical records, staffing schedules, expert interpretation, and the physical items recovered from Letby's home. Letby was first arrested in July of 2018. When police searched her house, they found material that immediately drew attention. Over 250 confidential nursing handover sheets, documents that should have remained at the hospital, were discovered in her home. 21 of those sheets related directly to babies she would later be accused of harming. Letby told officers she had bought the paperwork and brought it home unintentionally, that it accumulated in her pockets and bags after shifts. A paper shredder was found in the house. There was no direct evidence presented that she used it to destroy relevant documents. She was then released on bail after questioning and arrested again in 2019 and released again. It was not until November 2020 that she was formally charged with 8 counts of murder and 10 counts of attempted murder. She spent 23 months in custody awaiting trial. The trial began at Manchester Crown Court on October 10th, 2022, and would stretch to August of 23, spanning roughly 10 months of testimony, cross-examination, and expert analysis. It was one of the longest murder trials in British legal history. A proceeding so complex that jurors were warned at the outset about the emotional and psychological toll of what they would hear. The babies at the center of the case were identified only by letters, Child A through Child Q. Their real identities protected by court order. Their parents sat through months of testimony about how their children allegedly died, what was supposedly done to them, and who the prosecution said was responsible. The prosecution, led by Nick Johnson, KC, built its case on several interlocking pillars of evidence, none of which was conclusive in isolation, but which, taken together, the Crown argued, pointed overwhelmingly and irresistibly to Letby's guilt. The staffing chart was the visual centerpiece. Prosecutors presented the jury with a spreadsheet showing that Lucy Letby was the only member of the nursing staff, a lot of people there, who had been on duty during every single unexplained death and collapse on the neonatal unit between June of 2015 and June of 2016. Every single one. The chart was devastating in its simplicity. Letby's column was fully marked with crosses. Every other nurse's column was sporadic, scattered, incomplete. random. The visual message was immediate. One person was always there. No one else was. The prosecution framed this not as coincidence, but as a signature, as the kind of pattern that does not occur by chance. Johnson told the jury that the odds of one nurse being present for every event by accident was vanishingly small, and that the only rational explanation was deliberate action. The chart became, for many observers, the single most memorable piece of evidence in the entire case. The medical evidence formed the technical backbone of the case. The prosecution's primary expert witness was Dr. Dewey Evans, a retired consultant pediatrician who had reviewed the clinical cases for the police and concluded that the harm suffered by the babies was consistent with deliberate acts. He identified patterns across the cases that he interpreted as evidence of air embolism, insulin poisoning, and deliberate overfeeding. Two abdominal blood test results were central to the insulin allegations, lab values showing insulin levels far beyond what the baby should have had given the medication that they were prescribed, which the prosecution argued could only be explained by external administration of insulin to infants who did not need it. Skin discoloration observed in some of the infants was presented as diagnostic evidence of air having entered their bloodstreams, a condition known as an air embolism. Dr. Evans was supported on the stand by Dr. Sandy Bohin, a consultant pediatrician from Gunsery, who corroborated key elements of his interpretation. Together, the two formed the medical pillar of the prosecution's case, and their testimony was central to securing the convictions. The handwritten notes, they extended well beyond the green post-it. I know. Police recovered multiple pages of Letby's writing from her home, scrawled on post-it notes, torn paper, and pages in her diary. The contents ranged from what appeared to be expressions of guilt to what appeared to be expressions of distress and denial. Sometimes on the same page. One note read, "I killed them. I don't know if I killed them. Maybe I did. Maybe this is down to me." Another contained the word "kill me" circled in bold with "help me" written repeatedly. Other fragments referenced work colleagues, disciplinary fears, family, and her pets. One yellow post-it contained a lyric from a Craig David song. The prosecution extracted the incriminating phrases and presented them as literal admissions. The defense argued the full context revealed something very different, a woman experiencing a psychological breakdown under the weight of accusations, writing out intrusive thoughts as a coping mechanism. That distinction right there between confession and breakdown became one of the fault lines of the entire trial. After the conviction, reporting revealed that the notes had allegedly been written on the advice of a counselor who encouraged Letby to put her troubling thoughts on paper as a therapeutic exercise for managing extreme stress. That context was not presented to the jury during the trial. A fact that has since fueled significant criticism of how the notes were used as evidence. I mean, think of that for just a second, because those notes are damning. They look like a confession. And if that's where that conversation ends and you walk away from it right here, yeah. But if you put context to it, which is important for any case, and you discover, oh, she's also writing, "I did not do this." She's going back and forth. She's playing all these scenarios through her mind. "Well, I wouldn't do that." "Well, guess what? You're not her and I'm not her. I don't know that I would do that or not. I've never been accused of doing such a thing. So I really can't tell you how I would handle that at the advice of my therapist on how to work that shit through my brain. Could you?" "I didn't think so." So they're not quite as damning as they appear, if we're being honest. And you have a therapist, allegedly, that's saying, yeah, I told her to write all of it down, everything. That's no longer a confession. It's a psychological exercise. Working through the accusations that are being presented to you by putting them in writing on paper. Kind of an important element to the notes, the context. But if it only benefits one side, you don't want that context because it looks really damning if you don't have it. God, we see this in so many cases. And it goes against the one goal that everyone should have in any courtroom, and that is getting to the truth, not jamming your opinion or your theory down someone else's throat. It's getting to the truth, whether what you thought is right or not. That doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. The truth does. And getting there is the most important thing. So that to me is a big sticking point personally of this is weird. Your thoughts there in the comments. Let's continue. The handover sheets provided an additional layer. The prosecution argued that keeping 257 confidential documents at home, including 21 specifically related to the babies she was accused of harming, indicated an unnatural fixation, which, yes, there's that then too, which gets a little weird. Just as you ride the wave of maybe she didn't do it, you get another one going, maybe she did. The defense countered that neonatal nurses routinely handle large volumes of paperwork and that accidental retention was not unusual. The prosecution noted the paper shredder. The defense noted that the sheets had not been shredded. Neither interpretation was definitive, but the volume and specificity of the documents left an impression on the jurors. It's a lot of paperwork that really should never leave the hospital. It's a lot. It's a lot to have on your person at home. 7 months into the trial in May of 23, Lucy Leppi entered the witness box. She denied every allegation. She denied that the notes were confession. She denied that she had harmed any child. She maintained that the handover sheets were taken home accidentally. She told the court she never deliberately hurt a baby and never would. Under cross-examination, the prosecution pressed her on the staffing coincidences, the post-it notes, and the medical evidence. Leppi held her position throughout, not guilty on every count. But there was a decision made by the defense team that would later attract intense scrutiny. Leppi's legal team did not call its own independent medical expert to counter Dr. Dwight Evans' testimony in a case where the medical interpretation of clinical records was arguably the most critical element. The defense relied on cross-examination of the prosecution's experts rather than presenting an alternative medical narrative. After the conviction, multiple medical professionals came forward to challenge Evans' conclusions, raising the question of whether the jury had heard a sufficiently complete picture of the medical evidence. Why the defense chose not to call its own expert remains a subject of debate. But the consequence was that the jury weighed Evans' medical interpretation without hearing a competing expert opinion from that witness stand. On August 18th of 2023, after 10 months of evidence and deliberation, the jury returned its verdicts. Lucy Leppi was found guilty of murdering 7 babies and the attempted murder of 7 others, including 2 separate attempts on 1 child. She was acquitted on 2 counts. The jury could not reach verdicts on 6 additional counts of attempted murder. She was sentenced to 14 whole life orders, the most severe punishment available in the British legal system. She would never be eligible for a release. A subsequent retrial in July of 2024 and a single remaining count involving baby K produced an additional guilty verdict and a 15 whole life sentence. That the jury could not agree on 6 counts is a detail worth pausing on. It means that even within the panel of 12 people who convicted Letby on the majority of the charges, the evidence was not uniformly convincing across every allegation. The same jurors who found the prosecution's case overwhelming for some babies found it insufficient, or at least debatable for others. That's not an indictment of the verdict. Jurors and juries reach split decisions routinely, but it is a signal that the evidence, even inside the courtroom where it was presented most forcefully, did not achieve unanimous clarity on every count. For the families who had waited years for accountability, the verdict was the closest thing, really, to resolution the system could offer. After years of grieving, after burying children whose deaths they had not understood, after sitting through months of testimony about the alleged final moments of their babies' lives, they finally heard a jury say what had happened. For the British public, the conviction confirmed one of the most disturbing crimes in the nation's modern history and made Lucy Letby a household name for the worst possible reasons. Letby herself maintained her innocence throughout the trial, refused to attend the first sentencing hearing, and continues to maintain her innocence from prison where she is serving her sentences. The jury heard the case as it was presented. They deliberated, they decided, and their decision stands legally. As of this recording, what they were not told, what they did not hear, and what has emerged since is the subject of a debate that is far from settled. Next, we look at the case against the case. The International Medical Panel of 14 experts who reviewed every clinical file and said they found no evidence of murder. The statisticians, who dismantled the staffing chart. The neonatologist whose own research was cited to convict her and who now believes his work was misapplied. The procedural errors that emerged after trial and the wrongful conviction case from the Netherlands that some experts say looks disturbingly like this one. That is where this series goes next. Press subscribe wherever you are getting podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever it may be, so you don't miss it. It's coming up. The conviction was the end of the trial. It was not the end of the story. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as well. Those links are in our description. I look forward to continuing on our conversation right there. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.